The following is a recording of the Melanie Carpenter teleconference with iAdvise on Thursday, July 31st, 2014 at 9 a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services second quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instruction will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please begin.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will briefly present the recently announced transaction involving Intelligo Group and will also discuss its second quarter 2014 earnings, which do not include figures for Intelligo yet. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Maria del Carmen Rocha, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Enrique Espinosa, Chief Investment Officer of Interseguro, as well as Mr. Bruno Ferrecho, Chief Financial Officer of Intelligo. They will be discussing the presentation that was distributed yesterday, July 30th, as it was updated to include Intelligo transaction overview. The earnings results report remains the same as distributed on Friday, July 25th. If you did not receive a copy of the updated presentation or the earnings, it is now available on ifs.com.pe to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp's Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services presentation. Today, we will start with a brief summary of Intelligo Group's key figures, and we will go then through IFS second quarter 2014 results. As most of you are already aware, on July 18th, we announced the incorporation of Intelligo Group to IFS, which will be in effect on August 1st, 2014. This transaction was approved by IFS Board of Directors, reviewed by an independent committee of IFS Board, and supported by a fairness opinion from PricewaterhouseCoopers. This transaction entails the contribution of 100% of Intercorp shares in Intelligo to IFS in exchange for 19.5 million IFS shares. On page 4, we will start with an overview of Intelligo Group. Intelligo Group is a leading provider of wealth management services, focusing on financial advisory, custody, and other brokerage services through Intelligo Bank, incorporated in Bahamas, and Intelligo SAP, a Peruvian brokerage house, its wholly owned subsidiaries. The key highlights of Intelligo Group include, first of all, that it benefits from wealth creation resulting from continued macroeconomic stability, GDP growth, and income per capita growth in Peru. It is a fast-growing, high-ROE wealth management business with a highly efficient operation. It is an increasingly well-recognized brand in the market. It has diversified sources of income with a large portion of stable fee income. And it has a demonstrated ability to deliver superior financial results with an experienced management team and a highly motivated workforce. On page number 5, you can see that since 2006, Intelligo's asset under management plus deposits has grown in a CAGR of 25%, reaching $3.3 billion as of December 2013 and $3.4 billion as of the first half of this year. Total net income grew at a CAGR of 18% since 2009, reaching $40 million in 2013 with an ROE of 30% for the same period. On page number 6, you can see some key figures of Intelligo Group. As of June 2014, including total assets under management of almost $3.5 billion, total assets of $920 million, and shareholders' equity of $157.8 million. On page number 7, you can see some of the benefits of this transaction, which include the creation of a leading platform of diversified financial services in Peru. Intelligo will complement IFS with a high-growth, highly profitable financial service business. This is an opportunity to build a more integrated platform to compete in the market of mass affluent and high net worth individuals. It provides further diversification of ISS revenues with a strong and stable component of fee income, and it has a positive effect in profitability and operating metrics. We will continue now with a brief discussion of the key highlights of Intercorp Financial Services performance. Please turn to page number 9. Intercorp Financial Services net earnings were 197 million soles in the second quarter of 2014, a 28.7% increase quarter on quarter and 17.5% year on year. Excluding non-recurring items, ISS net earnings increased 5.5% on a quarterly basis and 26.6% on a yearly basis. The quarterly increase was driven by growth of 25.6% in fee income and 47.6% in results from financial operations. The yearly net earnings growth was mainly due to a 17.3% increase in gross financial margin, partially offset by a 40.7% rise in provision expenses. ISS recurring ROE was 23.2% in the second quarter, above the 21.7% in the first quarter and the 20.2% of the second quarter of the previous year. At Interbank, net earnings reached 163.5 million in the second quarter, a 1.5 million increase on a quarterly basis and a 5.9 million increase on a yearly basis. The quarterly increase was mainly due to a 12.3 million growth in net fee income and 31.7 million increase in other income due to the constitution of a voluntary provision in the first quarter of this year, which was not repeated in the second quarter. Excluding non-recurring factors, second quarter net earnings increased 22.2% on a yearly basis, in line with a 17.6% growth in gross financial margin. Interbank's recurring ROE remained stable quarter on quarter at 24.7% and increased 100 basis points on a yearly basis. The loan portfolio expanded 4.1% quarter on quarter and 23.2% on a yearly basis, driven by growth in credit cards, mortgages, and commercial loans. The past due loan ratio remained stable on a quarterly basis and on a yearly basis at 1.9%. The efficiency ratio improved from 47.9% in the second quarter of last year to 47.2% in the second quarter of this year, supported by a 9.3% growth in fee income, while administrative expenses grew only 5.9%. The BIS ratio was 15.8% in the second quarter, well above regulatory requirements. At Interseguro, net earnings were 59 million in the second quarter, supported by an extraordinary gain of 35.6 million from the sale of a real estate property. Excluding non-recurring factors, Interseguro's net earnings increased 153.8% on a quarterly basis and 36.6% on a yearly basis. Interseguro's recurring ROE was 27.2% in the second quarter, above the 9.4% of the first quarter and the 15.7% of the second quarter of the previous year. Interseguro's investment portfolio grew 3.5% on a quarterly basis and 17.7% on a yearly basis, driven by higher annuity sales. Please now turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of ISS and its two subsidiaries. Net earnings attributable to ISS shareholders were 197 million in the second quarter, a 28.7% increase on a quarterly basis and 17.5% on a yearly basis. When excluding non-recurring items reported in both the second quarter of this year and of the previous year, net earnings increased 5.5% quarter on quarter and 26.6% year on year. ISS ROE was 26.2% in the second quarter, above the 20.1% of the first quarter and the 23.2% of the second quarter of 2013. In the following pages, we will go through a detailed discussion of each company's quarterly performance. Please turn to page 11 for a discussion of ISS P&L statement. Looking at the quarterly performance, net earnings increased 28.7%, mainly due to a 47.6% increase in results from financial operations, a 25.6% increase in fee income, and a reversion from other expenses to other income, partially offset by a by a steady 1.2% increase in provisions. Financial income increased 2.6%, driven by a 3.7% increase in the average volume of loans at Interbank, while financial expenses grew 9% on a quarterly basis due to increases of 28.1% in interest on bonds and 4.4% in interest on deposits at Interbank. Provision expenses rose 31.2% due to a higher requirement for new provisions on consumer and commercial loans and lower provision reversals in the second quarter of this year. Fee income increased 25.6% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to higher commissions from contingent operations and fees from financial advisory at Interbank. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting decreased 21% due to solid growth premiums and a reduction in claims. Results from financial operations increased 47.6% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to non-recurring gains on the sale of real estate investments registered at Interseguro in the second quarter. Administrative expenses increased 3.7% due to higher expenses for third-party services at Interbank and a write-off provision due to the closure of the mortgage administration company subsidiary of Interseguro. The other income and expenses account reversed from an expense of $19.9 million in the first quarter to an income of $10.1 million in the second quarter, mainly due to the constitution of a voluntary provision in the first quarter at Interbank, a portion of which was released in the second quarter. Looking at the year-on-year performance, net earnings increased 17.5%, mainly due to a 17% increase in gross financial margin, partially offset by a 40.7% growth in provisions. Financial income rose 19.4%, mainly explained by a 21.6% increase in interest and fees on loans at Interbank, while financial expenses increased 25.9% on a yearly basis, due to growth of 30.8% in interest on deposits and 46.2% in interest on bonds at Interbank. Provisions grew 40.7% due to the strong growth in the origination of credit cards and commercial loans, lower income from loan recoveries, and the fact that provision expenses were unusually low in the second quarter of 2013. Fee income increased 4.8% on a yearly basis as a result of higher commissions from letter of guarantee and revenues from collection services at Interbank. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting decreased 11.5% as a result of higher premiums net of change in reserves. Results from financial operations declined 3.7% on a yearly basis due to lower non-recurring income in the second quarter compared to the previous year, as well to a reduction in income from participation of subsidiaries at Interbank. Administrative expenses increased 6.2%, mainly due to increases of 7.4% in expenses for third-party services and 3.7% in personnel expenses at Interbank. Additionally, administrative expenses grew 37.1% at Interseguro due to a write-off provision and higher personal expenses. The other income and expenses account increased 8.2% on a yearly basis due to a partial reversal in voluntary provisions from the previous period at Interbank. Please turn to page number 13 for a discussion of Interbank's performance. Looking at Interbank quarterly results, net earnings reached $163.5 million in the second quarter, a $1.5 million increase on a quarterly basis and $5.9 million decrease year-on-year. The quarterly increase was mainly due to a $12.3 million growth in fee income and $31.7 million positive reversal in other income and expenses related to a voluntary provision registered during the last quarter. These factors were partially offset by a $29.8 million increase in provision expenses. The annual decline in net earnings in the second quarter was mainly due to a $36.2 million increase in provision expenses related to higher activity in consumer lending, as well as $37.7 million decrease in results from financial operations. This factor offset a $75.4 million increase in gross financial margin. In the second quarter of last year, a non-recurring result of $35.6 million net of taxes was reported. Excluding said amount, second quarter 2014 net earnings would have increased 22.2% on a yearly basis, in line with a 17.6% growth in gross financial margin. Interbank's ROE was 24.9% in the second quarter, slightly lower than the 25% reported in the first quarter. Moreover, a 29.3% ROE was registered in the second quarter of the previous year, considering the non-recurring income mentioned already. On page 14, performing loans grew 4.1% on a quarterly basis, with commercial loans expanding 3.8% in the second quarter, mainly driven by trade finance loans within the corporate segment and leasing operations in the mid-corporate segment. Retail loans increased 4.4% due to growth of 7.6% in credit cards, 4.4% in other consumer loans, and 2.1% in mortgage loans. In credit cards, the fifth consecutive quarter of strong growth was recorded, while the past due loan ratio is in such product remained low at 4.1% as of the second quarter, below the 4.7% registered in the second quarter of the previous year, but slightly above the 4.0% reported in the first quarter. Performing loans increased 23.2% on a yearly basis, with commercial loans growing 27.2%, mainly due to increases in trade finance and medium-term financing within the corporate and middle market segments. Retail loans increased 19.2%, driven by growth of 34.9% in credit cards, 13.8% in mortgage loans, and 14.3% in other consumer loans. On page number 15, Interbank's funding base decreased 3% on a quarterly basis, in line with the reduction in interest earning assets, mainly due to reductions of 4.5% in both deposits and due to banks. The reduction in deposits was explained by decreases of 11% in commercial deposits and 6.2% in institutional deposits, partially offset by an increase of 2.3% in retail deposits. Due to banks, declined due to lower liquidity requirements as a result of the 300 million subordinated bond issued in March 2014. The bank's total funding base increased 11.9% year-on-year, slightly below the growth in interest earning assets. The increase was due to growth of 14.7% in deposits and 33.9% in bonds, partially offset by a 22.2% decrease in due to banks. The year-on-year growth in bonds was explained by two subordinated bond issuances, the first of 50 million in December 2013, placed in the local market, and the second for $300 million in March this year, placed in the international market. The decrease in due to banks was attributed to a reduction in the use of credit lines with correspondent banks as a consequence of ample dollar liquidity. On page number 16, looking at the quarterly performance, we can see that gross financial margin increased 0.4% on a quarterly basis as a result of a 2.5% growth in financial income, partially offset by an 8.5% increase in financial expenses. The rise in financial income was due to an increase of 3.6% in interest on loans, partially offset by decreases of 2.4% in fees on loans and 8.9% in interest on investments. The growth in interest on loans was due to increases of 3.7% in the average volume of the portfolio, despite a 30 basis point reduction in the average yield from 12% in the first quarter to 11.7% in the second quarter. Interest on investment decreased 8.9% on a quarterly basis due to a reduction of 60 basis points in the average yield, despite an increase of 11.3% in the average volume. The lower average yield was mainly due to lower returns in global bonds, and the growth in average volume was attributed to increases in global and sovereign bonds as well as in corporate bonds. Financial expenses increased 8.5% on a quarterly basis due to increases of 4.4% in interest on deposits and 28.1% in interest on bonds, partially offset by a 9.8% decrease in interest on due to banks. The growth in interest on deposits was mainly due to a 10 basis points increase in the average cost, while the average volume remained relatively stable. The increase in the average cost was explained by higher rates in commercial and institutional deposits, mainly in soles, while rates on retail deposits remained stable. The increase in interest on bonds in the second quarter was due to a 12.7% growth in the average volume, together with an 80 basis points increase in the average cost. The higher volume was due to the 300 million subordinated bond previously mentioned, and similarly, the higher average cost was due to the fact that said issuance was realized in mid-March and therefore the interest expense was incurred during only a fraction of the first quarter, but was fully reflected in the second quarter of this year. The decrease in interest on due to banks was explained by a 1.8% decline in the average volume and a reduction of 40 basis points in the average cost. Both of these effects occurred mainly in foreign funding, while local funding grew 4.9% in volume and its average cost decreased by 30 basis points. The average cost of funds increased from 2.5% in the first quarter to 2.6% in the second quarter, mainly due to higher average cost of bonds and deposits in soles. Looking at the yearly performance, gross financial margin grew 17.6% due to an increase of 19.4% in financial income, partially offset by a 24.7% rise in financial expenses. The growth in financial income was due to an increase of 22.6% in interest on loans, 14.3% in fees on loans, and 40.1% in interest on investments, partially offset by an 81.9% reduction in interest on cash. The increase in interest on loans was explained by a 25.1% growth in the average loan volume, while the average yield decreased from 12.1% in the second quarter of the previous year to 11.7% in the 7.6% in the average volume, partially offset by a 10 basis point reduction in the average yield. The growth in volume was due to the higher average balances in both sovereign and global bonds, as well as in corporate bonds. The lower average yield was mainly attributed to a reduction in the return of global bonds. The decrease in interest on cash was mainly explained by a 70 basis point decline in the average yield and a 3.6% decrease in the average volume. The lower yield was mainly due to reduced returns on overnight deposits in the central bank, given that in the second quarter of the previous year, these were mainly constituted in soles, whereas in the second quarter of this year, they were in dollars, with significantly lower yields. Financial expenses increased 24.7% on a yearly basis, due to a growth of 30.8% in interest on deposits and 46.2% in interest on bonds, partially offset by a reduction of 9.5% in interest on due to banks. The rise in interest on deposits was attributed to a 22.9% increase in the average volume, while the average cost increased by 10 basis points. The increase in interest on bonds was mainly due to a 7.2% growth in the average volume and a 50 basis point increase in the average cost. The higher average volume was explained by the two subordinate bond issues previously mentioned. The decrease in interest on due to banks was explained by a 19.8% decline in the average volume, partially offset by a 60 basis point increase in the average cost. The decline in the average volume was due to a 40.5% decline in foreign funding, mainly offset by a 20.1% rise in local funding. The average cost of funding increased from 2.5% in the second quarter of the previous year to 2.6% in the second quarter of this year, mainly due to higher average cost of bonds due to banks and institutional deposits, mainly in soles. Net interest margin on page 17 was 6.8% in the second quarter, 10 basis points lower than the 6.9% reported in the first quarter and in the second quarter of the previous year. Excess dollar liquidity in the financial system and in the bank continues to have an impact on NIM, as overnight dollar-denominated institutional deposits are being invested in overnight accounts with banks with very low returns. On page 18, provision expenses increased 31.2% on a quarterly basis and 40.7% on a yearly basis. As a result, the annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans was 2.4% in the second quarter, higher than the 1.9% registered in the first quarter and the 2.1% registered in the second quarter of the previous year. The quarterly increase was due to higher requirements for new provisions on both consumer and commercial loans, as well as to a lower reversal of provision during the second quarter. In regard of this, as a result of a new regulation, a reversal of payroll deduction loan provision was recorded in the first quarter, thus affecting the quarterly comparison. Furthermore, strong growth in consumer and commercial performing loans generated a greater requirement of pro-cyclical provisions. On the other hand, a 6.2% increase in non-performing loans also contributed to higher provision requirements. The annual increase in provision expense was mainly explained by three factors. First, strong growth in credit cards and commercial loans. Second, lower income from loan recoveries. And finally, the fact that provision expenses were unusually low in the second quarter of the previous year. In the second quarter of 2014, the ratio of past due loans to total loans remained stable on a quarterly basis and on a yearly basis at 1.9%. The coverage ratio of the past due loan portfolio decreased from 225.9% in the second quarter of the previous year and 211.8% in the first quarter of this year to 210.3% in the second quarter of this year. On page 19, fee income increased 21% quarter on quarter due to higher commission from contingent operations such as letters of guarantee as well as increased revenues from financial advisory. Fee income increased 9.3% year on year as a result of a 13.2% increase in fees from letters of guarantees and higher revenues from collection services. Results from financial operations decreased $1.2 million on a quarterly basis, mainly due to a decrease in exchange and derivative gains and lower income from participation in subsidiaries. These effects were partially offset by higher gains on the investment portfolio. Results from financial operations decreased $37.7 million year-on-year due to lower gains on the investment portfolio. Administrative expenses increased 4.2% on a quarterly basis and 5.9% on a yearly basis. The quarterly growth was mainly due to a 7.5% increase in expenses for third-party services. Personnel expenses remained relatively stable, increasing only 0.8%. The year-on-year growth was mainly attributed to increases of 7.4% in expenses for third-party services and 3.7% in personnel expenses. The efficiency ratio was 47.2% in the second quarter, higher than the 46.4% of the first quarter, but lower than the 47.9% recorded in the second quarter of the previous year. On page 20, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 15.8% in the second quarter, below the 16.8% reported in the first quarter and above the 14.5% registered in the second quarter of the previous year. The quarterly variation was mainly due to a 7% growth in risk-weighted assets. As of the second quarter of this year, Interbank's capital ratio of 15.8% remained above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio established at 11.5%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.5% as of the second quarter. Now, let me turn it to Mari Carmen Rocha to a comment on Interseguro's results.
Please turn to page 22 of the presentation. The table shows a summary of Interseguro's P&L performance. Net earnings reached $59 million in the second quarter of 2014, an increase of $49.8 million quarter over quarter and $41.9 million year over year. The annualized ROE was 16.7% in the first quarter of 2014, above the 9.4% reported in the first quarter and the 15.7% registered in the second quarter of 2013. The quarter-over-quarter increase in net earnings is explained by a $49 million increase in investment income and a $4.1 million higher technical margin, partially offset by a $3.4 million increase in administrative expenses. The increase in investment income is mainly explained by an extraordinary gain of $35.6 million from the sale of a real estate property located in Puruchuco at the northeast of Lima. The higher technical margin is explained by a decrease in claims in disability and survival benefits due to the write-off of policies for which we have not received any pension application, as well as higher margins in car insurance, decreasing term life insurance for credit cards, and car protection, partially offset by higher reserves in individual life due to higher returns associated to universal life investment funds. The increase in administrative expenses is explained by a loss provision due to the closure of the mortgage administration company subsidiary of Interseguro. The year-over-year increase in net earnings is mainly explained by a $50.3 million increase in investment income, explained by the sale of the real estate property previously mentioned, a 1.2 million lower technical margin due to the increase in sales in annuities and a 7.4 million increase in administrative expenses, explained by a provision for the closure of our mortgage subsidiary and higher personnel expenses in line with the growth of the business. Please turn to the next page of the presentation. Page 23 shows in detail the performance of Interseguros premiums. In the second quarter of 2014, premiums were 177.8 million, an increase of 6.6% quarter over quarter and 29.9% year over year. The quarter-over-quarter growth is mainly due to an increase of 9.4 million in annuities and 2.6 million in non-life, partially offset by a decrease of 0.6 million in mandatory traffic accident premiums and 0.6 million in group life. Quarter-over-quarter increase in annuities was due to a market expansion in which Interseguro maintained its leadership position. Year-over-year increase was achieved by Interseguro's leadership position in a market that increased 27.1%. Quarter-over-quarter and year-over-year increase in non-life were due to the recognition of car protection premiums provisions according to requirements from the new insurance contract law, and to sales of payment protection premiums through a new distribution channel, which is Financiera Uno. Year-over-year increase was also explained by sales of car insurance and extended warranties. Quarter-over-quarter decreased sales in mandatory traffic accidents were due to a decrease in sold but not collected premiums provision during the period. The decrease in group life is mainly explained by lower premiums in legal life due to the fact that the renewal of Interbank's policy is subscribed in the first quarter of each year. Finally, on page 24, there are some details on Interseguro's investment portfolio and investment income. In the second quarter of 2014, investment income was 107.6 million, an increase of 83.8% quarter over quarter and 88% year over year. The quarter over quarter and year over year increase is explained by an extraordinary 35.6 million gain attributed to the sale of the real estate property in Curutuco previously mentioned, and a 9.6 million gain from the sale of multiple equities. Interseguro's investment portfolio grew 3.5% quarter-over-quarter and 17.7% year-over-year, driven by higher annuity sales and the price appreciation of Interseguro's overall portfolio. Fixed income investments represent 76.1% of the portfolio in the second quarter of 2014, comparing to 73.4% in the first quarter and 75.6% in the second quarter of the previous year. Thank you. This concludes our presentation. Operator, please proceed to the question and answer session, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Alonso Garcia with Credit Suisse.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Regarding the corporate reorganization to pay for Inteligo acquisition, do you have any color or idea on what Intercorp's plans could be in regards to the 19.5 million shares they have now on IFS? Could we expect these shares to be put out in the market to increase trading liquidity of IFS? Thank you.
Good morning, Alonso. This is something that is on the, let's say, it's being evaluating, but I cannot give you further comments now. It's not something that we are today pursuing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mara Saba with Compass.
Yes. Thank you. A couple of questions about the Inteligo transaction. First, could you explain what's behind the increase in net income in 2012? And I'm asking this because I don't see a commensurate increase in assets under management.
Can you say it again because I couldn't catch it? The increase of what?
Explain the increase in net income for Inteligo in 2012. And the reason I'm asking this is because I don't see a commensurate increase in assets under management. I imagine there's some change in tariffs or something.
Let me just 1 second pass it to Bruno.
Mainly two things, income, investment income from the portfolio, and secondly, an increase in net interest margin due to an increase in the size of the investment portfolio between 2011 and 2012.
Okay, and thank you. Do you have a number for the income contribution from Intellio to IFS net of consolidation adjustments, if there are any? I don't know if there are any consolidation adjustments.
I mean, the consolidation adjustments are minor, so the contribution will be mostly the numbers that you see from Intellio.
Okay, thanks. Just another question on the transaction. As I see the rationale, you have a slide on the rationale for the transaction. All of the reasons seem to be things that they were there like years ago. Could you explain the timing for the transaction?
Yeah. Now, when IFS was created and the initial IPO was done in 2007, no, and the reorganization was done where Interbank and Interseguro were put together, Intelligo was a very small company. It was a very small company, and moreover, it had international expansion plans, and most of its revenues were coming from investment income. So at that moment, it was not like the time to include it into IFS. But with the increase, let's say with the good development of the GDP in Peru and the creation of wealth, Intelligo has been at the end focusing mainly or almost exclusively in Peruvian clients, and it has been growing its assets under management consistently through the years. Moreover, the revenues from Intelligo are today, more than half of them are coming from interest margin and fee income, which constitutes a very diversified source of fee income. So basically, today we see the opportunity, we saw the opportunity, and the let's say to include and in consolidate Intelligo under IFS, also because with the increase on the wealth, also in interbank clients, we see an opportunity to try to capture the clients which we are not serving with interbank. Okay, we're talking about the high net worth individual, as Interbank is mainly focusing on the middle market, and to not, let's say, lose them to other competitors in the market. So we also see some synergies there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touchtone phone now. Our next question comes from Natalia Kornfeld with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the question. Basically, you have mentioned that there was a decrease in yields in the quarter in certain of the segments, like the commercial segment, for instance. What has been driven that? Is that competition? What has been happening in the Peruvian market? That's my first question.
Actually, it has a lot to do also with a product mix. If we're talking about the yield in the loan portfolio, as commercial loans continue to grow at a higher pace, it ends up having a negative effect on the yield just because of product mix, okay? And the second thing, when you look at net margins, the fact that we are a bank that is more focused on solid because of the high incidence of retail within our portfolio means that we need more funding also in solid, which has been a little bit scarce in the market. So that is one of the reasons why cost of funds has also increased a little bit in the quarter. So the two effects, so more commercial loans within the loan portfolio and more solid is driven this increase in the net margin. Decrease on in the, sorry, in the net margin.
All right. And also another thing that I noticed in your results, your loan to deposit ratio increased in the quarter to above 100%. There was a contraction in deposits. Can I assume that you have been using the proceeds from the 200 million bonds to originate new loans?
Yes, definitely yes. And let's say the excess liquidity coming from those dollars now were lent mainly to corporate and mere corporate clients, and that's why we didn't need the commercial and institutional deposits.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Aramburu with BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions. First, Miguela, maybe you can comment a little bit on asset quality. You had mentioned the previous quarter that you were expecting some deterioration in the PDL ratio. It's been fairly stable so far. Can you give us a sense of where that's going? What's your sense for the second half of the year, and also the level of provisioning? If this 2.4% of loans is what we should expect for the rest of the year?
Okay, actually, when you look at the quarterly evolution of provisions, now if you see an increase, there is like I don't know, roughly like 30 million increase in provisions. This has two main explanations. The first one, and this accounts for roughly like 12 million of that number, is the increase in the credit card portfolio that has been going, I mean, this quarter it was more than 7%, and a slight deterioration of the PDL ratio. That ratio in the first quarter of this year was 4%, and in the second quarter of this year was 4.1%, okay? So we are talking about 10 basis points. Still, when you compare that number to the second quarter of the previous year, that was 4.8%. So we are still with very low numbers in terms of PDL ratio for credit cards, okay? And the second main reason was what we explained last quarter, actually it was your question, related to payroll lending, okay? We had a reversal of provisions on payroll lending last quarter, which didn't take place this year, this quarter. So basically, you have there like another 17 or 18 million of the increase of provisions coming from that effect. When we look at the numbers for year end, as long as the credit card portfolio continues to have this strong growth, and we still do expect a slight deterioration in the portfolio because of growth and the deceleration of the economy, we can expect a slight deterioration of the PDL ratio, but something that shouldn't be more than, I don't know, maybe 20 basis points.
Great. Thank you for that. And my other question was regarding expenses. I mean, you know, the growth of expenses at the bank has been very much controlled, you know, growing 5-6%. But Interseguros has been growing expenses above 30%. This quarter, last year, was also 30% growth in expenses. Maybe Mary Carmen can give us maybe some color on the growth of expenses at Interseguro and if that is the rate we should expect expenses to continue growing.
Hi. Yes. Mainly there is one non-recurring expense this quarter, which is the provision for the closure of the mortgage subsidiary. That's $3 million. Another reason why the administrative expenses are increasing is because our business is increasing and we're paying more commissions, and this is the same ratio, just that we're selling more, we're paying more. And no, you should not expect administrative expenses to grow any higher, except for the commissions, which grow in line with the business.
Okay, great. And also related to Interseguro, should we expect another sale of an asset before the end of the year?
I don't think we can comment on that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. We have a follow-up question from Mara Zaba with Compass.
Yes, thank you. Given that you're very active on real estate for Interseguro, Could you give us more information about how the portfolio, the stock of real estate investments you have in your portfolio right now, how has it changed in the past quarter in terms of duration, for example?
Yes, hi, Maher. This is Enrique Espinosa. As of today, the real estate exposure is around 11% of the portfolio. What we have done is just simple. We have sold some lands or malls that were already developed. As of today, we don't have any more plans of selling more real estate. We do feel comfortable with our current exposure. And the regulatory limit is 15% of total portfolio.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Ms. Casassa for closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining today. We will talk again in the next quarter conference call. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.